Good evening. The scripture Brother Brian has requested to be read is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. And Brother Dwayne, I guess we are rubbing off on each other, because the opening comments that came to my mind were when that song was being sung there, 134. And my thoughts were, I'm not just glad for tomorrow, Monday, but I'm so glad that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday are all in His hands. Amen. And when I brief down over that portion of scripture here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, in connection with what we heard this morning, my mind went to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the Lord we're here to serve and to worship this evening. Reading from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. With the reading of this scripture on our mind, all who are able shall we reverently kneel for a word of prayer.
Good evening. We greet each one of you this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The topic tonight is the danger of immaturity. The danger of immaturity. What got my mind thinking along that line, I was visiting one of my customers. He'd been a customer a long time. And he asked me, how's my relationship with God? There's not many customers I have that conversation with, but there's a number that don't mind talking about spiritual things. I asked him, what did he mean by that? How's my relationship with God? Well, he said, are you walking closer to God today than you were last month? Are you closer to God today than you were last month? What a challenge. I didn't know right how to answer him. And I don't even remember what I said. But it kept going through my mind in these past weeks. Am I really closer to God today than I was last month or a year ago? Am I growing? Is my faith stronger than it was? That's the question I ask you tonight, and I ask you to examine your hearts and answer it honestly. Are you closer to God today than you were last month at this time? You know, we often sing it, don't we? I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I have trouble singing that song at times. I sing it as a prayer, but I don't know I can sing it in truth. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Do you know more about God than you did last month at this time? Do you love God more now than you did a year ago? Are you spending more time with Him? Are you growing? Are you maturing in the faith? Is the question of the evening. Are you growing? Are you maturing in the faith? The book of Hebrews gives us at least five warnings to believers. Here in Hebrews chapter 5, we see the third one. The third warning in the book of Hebrews. Things that we're to watch out for. Things that we're to be aware of. And this warning is a warning about not growing in the faith. There's a danger of standing still. There's a danger of being spiritually immature. There's a danger of being satisfied with where we are in our faith and in our walk with God. There's a danger in an inadequate knowledge of God and His Word. In the text there that Brother Eric read in Hebrews 5, the writer to the Hebrews was dealing with great truths about who Jesus Christ was, who Jesus Christ is. Talks about Jesus Christ as our great high priest, compares him to Aaron, compares him to Melchizedek. But the teaching there quits abruptly, doesn't it? I think so, in verse 11. And in fact, the warning about immaturity goes all through the rest of this chapter, through Hebrews chapter 6, and then Hebrews chapter 7, he starts up on Melchizedek again. It stops abruptly in verse 11. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 11. It's the topic of the evening. Of whom we have many things to say, and are hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. The writer to Hebrews said, I have so much to tell you. So much to tell you about Jesus Christ. So much knowledge, such depths of knowledge and great truths to share with you. Things that would help you grow. Things that would help your walk in the faith. Things that would bring you to spiritual maturity. But yet he says, yet I can't. I can't lead you any further because you're dull of hearing. That phrase, dull of hearing, is a little tough to understand, I believe. You see, it's not a problem of hearing. It's not the idea of being hard of hearing. Dull of hearing means a problem of immaturity, a problem of caring about their faith, a problem of valuing their faith, a problem of paying attention to their faith. If you look up the word dull in Strong's, it's defined as laziness. You see, he said, I can't take you any further into knowledge of Jesus Christ because you're too lazy. Later on in Hebrews, that same word is translated as sluggish. You see, it's not a hearing problem at all. It's a laziness problem. And the warning here is because of laziness, because of sluggishness, because of slothfulness, you're failing to press on, failing to mature in the faith, failing to take an interest in your faith. And it's a dangerous condition. We need to hear the warning tonight. Are we closer to God today than we were a month ago? As I study this verse 11, some translations add the word become there. Instead of saying, seeing you are dull of hearing, it says, seeing ye have become dull of hearing. That adds a little difference to the, doesn't it? It means once they were attentive to their faith, once they were on fire for Jesus Christ, once they wanted to know more about him, but ye have become, you have drifted, you have become lazy in your faith. The warning here is very closely tied to the first warning in Hebrews. If you'd like to turn back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The warning here is very, very close to this. This first warning in Hebrews is the idea of letting things slip, of being neglectful. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them slip means to drift away. You see, it's the idea of neglect. Let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we're lazy, if we're sluggish. Hear the warning tonight. There's a danger. The natural progression of man is never to the best. It's always a downward progression, always. You see, the natural progression is to neglect, to become lazy, to slip. It's not to get better. You don't naturally grow stronger in the faith. You have to work at it. As I was driving down, I had a number of opportunities to drive down Route 97 this week between Gettysburg and Littlestown. I don't know if you ever noticed it before, but there's a number of junkyards on the way down through there, a number of used machinery places. It made me think. Made me think of all those cars in that junkyard. You know, once those cars were valued, once those cars were cared for, once those cars were polished and cleaned and the windows washed, what became of them that they ended up from being a valued piece of machinery to ending up in a junkyard? Might have been one big wreck, I understand that. But I'd sooner think that mostly perhaps the heater broke and they chose not to fix it. Maybe I got a dent in the bumper and they chose not to fix it. Maybe the air conditioning quit working or a window didn't roll down. You see, it's little things, and as they choose not to fix them, eventually they all add up to something big and you think, well, it's not worth fixing anymore. And the car ends up a car that was washed and cleaned, the oil changed and kept in repair, ends up in the junkyard. You know, the same can be said for our faith and our spiritual life. We need to pay close attention. We need to take care. We need to have a diligence that we're growing in the faith. To stand still, or worse yet, to regress, is a danger. There's a great danger in not pressing on to the upward way. I draw your attention to nature. In the plant kingdom, when is a young plant most susceptible to dying? When is a plant most susceptible to dying? When they're young, right? We coddle them along. we fertilize them to try to get them to push and get a jump start on life. We keep the weeds out of our gardens so they're not robbed of any nutrients or any sunlight or any water. We know the value in the plant kingdom of the great danger of having a young plant until it matures and gets hardened off and can take some competition for nutrients and can take some bugs and diseases and things like that. You see, in the plant kingdom, the young plant is the most susceptible, the immature plant. I think the Bible teaches us the same thing. If you turn to Matthew 13, the Bible teaches us the same thing about our spiritual life. There's a danger. Matthew 13, familiar text. Matthew 13, verse 18. There's a danger in our spiritual life if we don't grow up and mature. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and snatcheth away that was sown in his heart. This is he which was received seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. But yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, there's a danger, isn't it? There's a danger of not maturing in the faith. It is for the plant kingdom and it is for the Christian also. What about the animal kingdom? When is an animal most vulnerable? We'd have to answer when they're young, right? When they're young, an animal is most vulnerable. The vulnerability, the idea of being separated from their mother. It's a very real danger, separated from the herd. We know it's so important in the animal kingdom that they get on their feet soon after they're born. They get on their feet. They take that first nourishment. They start growing. They have to do that to survive. They can't stay young. They can't stay young. The young and immature are most vulnerable. Same in our spiritual life, isn't it? I believe the Bible makes note of that one also. In 1 Peter 5:8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." The lions prey on the young, the immature, those that are separated from the group. And here the warning says, don't be that way. It says, be sober, be vigilant. It's the exact opposite of being dull of hearing, of being lazy. You see, there's a great danger for the plant kingdom, for plants to remain young and tender. There's a great danger in the animal kingdom. And there's a great danger for us not to mature in the faith. I ask you again this evening, are you walking closer to God than you were last month, than you were a year ago? Are you maturing in the faith? Is your faith getting stronger? Or are you lazy? You have a lazy spiritual life and dull of hearing. If your answer is, I can do better, I'd like you to examine yourself in the following areas. Have you become lazy in Bible study? Do you read your Bible every day? You're not going to grow in the faith if you don't read your Bible. There's no way around it. It has to happen. There in Hebrews chapter 5, what Brother Eric read in verses 12, 13, it talks about that. For when time ye ought to be teachers, ye need to have one teacher again, which be the first principle of the oracles of the word of God, and are become such as need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do you have a hunger and thirst for the word of God? Are you reading your Bible? Even as I thought about this lesson, this sermon on Tuesday, I went to look for my Bible and I couldn't find it. Finally, it came to me. The last place I had it was at our meeting Sunday evening. What do you think of a preacher who doesn't open his Bible from Sunday evening to Tuesday evening? If that wasn't condemning enough, then I thought, what about if I wasn't preaching tonight? Then when would I have remembered the Bible in the truck? You'll never grow in the faith. I'll never grow in the faith. I'll never have a closer walk with God if I don't read the Bible. It's that simple. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Yes, the Bible is good for milk to that new believer. We've been taught that an eighth grade education can read the Bible and understand it. But we're not meant to stay there. We're not meant to stay there. We're meant to study and to grow. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'd like to do something a little different. I thought we could read some of Psalm 19 responsively. We think of this psalm as we think about God's word. We'll read the first 16 verses together. I'll read one. I'll start with one. And then you read two, and I'll read three, and you read four, and onward we'll go through verse 16. Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with all heart.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Then I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
I will keep thy statutes, for forsake me not utterly.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches.
I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will
Thank you. Are you walking closer to God today than you were a month ago? Or have you become lazy, sluggish in your Bible reading? There's no other way. There's no other way to grow if you refuse to read your Bible. Secondly, I'd like to challenge you with the idea, are you walking closer to God? Or have you become lazy in church attendance? Have you become lazy in church attendance? When the doors are open to this meeting house, do you make plans to be here? I know I'm sort of treading maybe on thin ice. I understand that. And I know there are valid reasons, times and seasons in our lives, sickness, work requirements. I understand all that. But is it your desire to meet with the brethren? I heard it said once, you can measure a congregational spiritual health by their attendance at prayer meeting. I don't know if you think that's a true statement, but the older I get, the more I think it is. You see, if we want to grow in the faith, we have to put ourselves, we have to make a conscious decision to put ourselves in places where we can grow in the faith. Places where we can be taught. Places where we can encourage one another. Places where we can be fed. I've been impressed lately by the wisdom of the early brethren. I think I talked some about the questions on the deacon's annual visit. But I've been thinking the last number of weeks about the third question. Are you willing to labor with the brethren for an increase of holiness both in yourself and others? And the phrase that caught my eye, and it never did before, was a phrase, with the brethren. Did you ever notice that? I never did. Yeah, they could have said, are you willing to labor for an increase of holiness within yourself and others? But by adding those few words, with the brethren, changes the thing completely. With the brethren. I ask you how you're going to labor with the brethren for an increase of holiness in yourself and others if you're never with the brethren. I realize there's more than one way to do that too, and I'm not making light of the other ways. We do it through visitation. We do it through prayer. And I understand all that. But if you're going to labor with the brethren for an increase of holiness in yourself, an increase of holiness in me, we have to be together. We have to be together. If your walk with God isn't growing, if it's regressing, if it isn't what it should be, I'd like to challenge you tonight. For the next 6 months, make a commitment that you're going to spend more time laboring with the brethren for an increase of holiness in yourself and others. If these doors are open for Sunday evening meetings, Wednesday night prayer service, make a commitment to be there. Try it. Put it to the test. And see if your faith grows. Prayer meeting attendance has been slim. The last 20 times we met as a small groups, there were three in the group I was in, counting me. But you know, that time was sweet. The two brethren that were with me are here tonight, and I think if I'd call on them, they could testify of the sweetness of the hour. It was an intimate time, time we could share with each other, times we could pray for each other. You see, we were laboring with the brethren for an increase of holiness in ourselves and in each other. If you weren't there, you missed it. You missed it. If you're struggling with your faith, if your faith isn't growing, perhaps you become lazy in attendance, lazy with your willingness to labor with the brethren. The last challenge I have for you, if you're not growing in your faith, maybe it's because you have a lazy attitude, a complacent attitude. Maybe you're just satisfied with where you are. I'm saved and that's good enough. I'm okay. Tell you, brothers and sisters, that's a very, very dangerous attitude to have. Scripture warns us many places. Many places. There's a couple of interesting ones that I point out to you. In Zephaniah and in Jeremiah, there's a warning about being settled on your lees. I thought that lees, L-E-E-S. I was drawn to those phrases. And you know what that means? It compares it to like vinegar or wine. You know, when the dregs or the impurities settle to the bottom. That's what that phrase, settled in your lees. And the scripture warns about that. Being satisfied with being settled to the bottom. Settled to the bottom, unbothered, happy to be there, complacent, and everything is just fine. Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 6, verse 1, warns of those, says, woe unto you that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto you that are complacent. Woe unto you who are lazy. Scripture tells us all these examples in the Old Testament are for us. And then it says, take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest it describes you. There's a danger in this kind of attitude that I'm good enough. But where I am, I'm settled. You know, the Bible rather commends us, what does it say? To be hungry, to be thirsty. There's a blessing in that, scripture tells us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says, strive, work hard to enter at the narrow gate. The Bible says to earnestly contend, earnestly fight for the faith. You see, there's blessing in laboring for the faith. There's a blessing in hunger. There's a blessing in thirst and in that drive to know more and more about Jesus. And there's a great danger for those who say, I'm happy just exactly where I am. All all these thoughts were going through my mind because one customer asked me, am I closer to God today than I was last month? What about you? What about you? For some closing thoughts, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is where I want to be. I'm not always there. I'm not always there. But this is where I want to be. I trust it's your desire to. I trust this to be your testimony. Maybe you're not there all the time. But wouldn't you like to be there? Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, I doubt, and I count all things but loss. Paul says here, I count all things as a loss, all things as a detriment. All things are nothing compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung, I count them but garbage, that I may win Christ and be drawn closer to Him. Are you closer to Him today than you were a month ago? And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Goes on to say in verse 10, that I might know Him. That I might know Him. That I might have an intimate relationship with Him. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though had I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and he says, what about you? Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What about you? Are you closer to God today than you were a month ago? May God bless you.
We have been challenged today. I want to share a little bit of history that kind of ties the two messages together a little bit. 500 years ago, there was a radical reformation in Christianity, and I believe that the origins of our church today were part of that radical reformation, and they were persecuted to death. And that was what they recognized as the mark of doing something right, of walking closer to the Lord than others who had professed to claim the name of Jesus. Their mark was that they were persecuted. Fast forward 250 years, roughly, we have the United States of America and religious freedom, and we are no longer persecuted to death. That's no longer an identifiable mark of being a true believer. But those believers decided that the mark that would identify them and differentiate them from the world was the idea of humility. The world filled their life with pride, and Christians were going to be clothed with humility. 250 years later, here we are. We don't have to live as radical of a life as brethren in the past. And I believe it's that radical approach is what, I think that's a little bit of what our brother spoke about tonight, saying, I can always do better wherever I'm at. And so I think that is the challenge that we can take with us to strive for that mark of the high calling, to be recognized as his people, and to face it with humility and knowing that we can always do better, and it is for his glory. So may we stand for closing prayer.